We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Friends, welcome to a late night edition of Pod Maverick. I am Kirk Henderson, editor-in-chief over at Mavs Moneyball, joined as always by my fellow site runner and partner, Josh Bowe. What's going on?
It's over. Sorry, Mavericks fans. This one loss, it is, I'm sorry to say, the Mavericks season's over. They had a good run, but you know, all good things must come to an end, and
they just can't win 8 games in a row.
2024 offseason, yeah.
Like 8 games in a row is just their absolute. Like they just can't do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
So the Mavericks fell to the Warriors, 104-100, in a it was a very fun basketball game. I mean, that was the Mavericks' fifth straight road game. Yeah, it was. They had won a lot of games on the road, and this is their first loss on the road since the Thunder several weeks ago. I mean, there's a lot to like about this game. There's also a hell of a lot to not like about this game. So to just be straight up front, if this is a game where you just want to say, all right, the Mavericks played, you know, 5 road games. They traveled from Houston. They've been going back across the country. If you want to write this game off, it's no big deal. I absolutely understand it. The Warriors shot 46% from the floor, 47% from three, and 100% from the free throw line. The Warriors turned the ball over 17 friggin' times, though. The Mavs turned the ball over 15 times. This game was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. There were very few foul calls that made. There were a lot of just like, what? Okay, I guess you just are now allowed to shiv in the NBA.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like that it really cost the Mavericks game. I mean, there's going to be one absolutely hilarious on the last 2 minute report call tomorrow. There's going to be a ridiculous I bet the NBA says he didn't travel. Klay Thompson caught the ball in the inbounds pass with 10 seconds left and ran with it. But knowing the NBA, they'll call it an incorrect or a correct non-call just because that's how that sort of thing goes. But I think big picture wise, you want to throw your hands up and just say, all right, let's move on with this one. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. Felt like they were due. And if this is, you know, it's like they were kind of due for a stinker. And if this is what their stinker looks like, where they, you know, narrowly lose a road game to a team that's fighting, still fighting for something, and is, you know, a team that still has the cachet that the Warriors have, even if they're not the same, and that's right. Not the worst thing in the world, but also not to discredit like fans being frustrated. I mean, it was definitely a frustrating game. You know, we could still get into that.
I think we ought to. Yeah.
Yeah. We can get into that while also acknowledging that, like, you know, it happens. Like,
it happens.
And it's an 82-game season. Like, you know, this game doesn't invalidate the previous 12 or 11 wins or whatever. So,
no, I think if you're frustrated in a big picture sense, you're looking at the Clippers just getting ran the fuck off the floor. And if you're one of these, if you're one of these sickos, and I'm among these people that think the Mavericks can take the four seed, or that had a chance of taking the four seed, I think that might be out the window now. That tonight was a really nice chance to gain ground. I mean, it would mainly be the difference between playing the Clippers at home versus playing them on the road in a playoff series. And I'm not sure how much that matters against a team like the Clippers with like precisely zero home fan base. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of jumping ahead though. So the big picture element of this game is the Mavericks started off this was very much a game where the Mavericks looked just a little bit out of sorts. They ended the first quarter down a single point. The Warriors turned the ball over a ton. The Mavericks themselves made a lot of little mistakes. And Luka kind of got a little shot happy. I was very frustrated with him. He was 4 of 9 in the quarter, which is fine. But it really felt like Luka was taking some of the physicality that the Warriors were dishing out personally. And I never want to say something rattles Luka, but he was looking to kind of go blow for blow with the Warriors. And I thought he got a little shot happy. I thought Kyrie Irving should have been involved a little earlier, but that is what it is. The Mavericks sort of ended up down. In the second quarter, chief fan and best seat in the house, Jason Kidd, allowed the Warriors to go on a 17-2 run before he finally used a fucking timeout. And that was one of probably four big instances in this game. We'll talk about Kidd enough if we're really going to, you know, kind of nitpick this loss. We'll circle back around to him. The Mavericks came out of that timeout, and the Warriors had a couple of chances to just bury Dallas, only for like 50-50 balls to end up in the Mavericks' hand. Like Kyrie Irving connected on a massive three. The Mavericks bounced right back with a 13-0 run of their own, and they kind of go into halftime with absolutely all the momentum. The third quarter was one where the Mavericks came out, looked like they were just going to run the Warriors off the floor, and they just couldn't. They couldn't. And, you know, we're going to circle back specifically into who and why. A couple of their guys who've been pretty strong for them lately didn't have the best games, and it became kind of a knife fight down to the end. The third quarter ended with one of the all-time – well, it's not fair. One of Jason Kidd's worst coaching mistakes, I think, in the post All-Star break, where he played Tim Hardaway, Jaden Hardy, and Kyrie Irving together in a three-guard lineup. It's like the death lineup, but in reverse, because the Mavericks just fucking died. And they walked into halftime, or the fourth quarter, down 6, or no, down 9, I think. I don't know. The Warriors were basically threatening to run away at the game. The Mavericks spent the fourth quarter sort of climbing back into it. And then they just didn't have enough. They just did not have enough. And they came away from this game. They lost 104-100. Oh yeah. Dante Exum also didn't play in clutch time. Shout out Jason Kidd once again. So where would you like to kind of start?
I think that's tough. Where to start? I think my main takeaway from this game was, you know, I understand how annoying Draymond Green is, but man, that guy can still dial it up defensively.
Oh, he did. He did some great stuff in this game. Yeah.
And I think this was the first game in about 2 weeks, basically since the Mavericks have gone on this 11-12 stretch, or, you know, whatever it is, off the top of my head. Basically since they won, you know, they won March 7th against Miami, and their only loss until tonight was at Oklahoma City without Luka. So basically during this whole winning stretch, it felt like this was the first time, and they did beat Golden State during the stretch previously, but Draymond didn't play.
Yeah.
And he's everything. And this was the first time I felt like they ran into a team that had answers for what the Mavericks wanted to do offensively. The Warriors were taking away, and it was mainly Draymond. Anything the Warriors do good defensively, it's almost always Draymond. It starts and ends with him. Like, they took away so much stuff that the Mavericks were just pet actions that the Mavericks had kind of developed over the last 2 to 3 weeks, or over the last month, really. That had kind of come secondhand to the Mavericks. Like, they're almost like they're running this stuff, and they're like, yeah, this gets us a layup. And it was gone. And they were almost like, wait, why didn't we score? Like, we've been scoring, like, we've been getting layups and dunks for a month, basically at will. Why didn't this play work? And there was almost like a deer in headlights oh shit, Luka, Kyrie, kind of save us, kind of reaction to that. And like the biggest example I can say is you know, Draymond, the Daniel Gafford high post, Kyrie setting a back screen for Dante Exum layup that they've been killing teams on for weeks now. No one stopped it. And the Warriors stopped it pretty much all night. I don't think the Mavericks scored on that play tonight. I might be mistaken, but I don't think they did. And they ran it at least three or four times. And each time they covered it well. And Gafford didn't even have a pass to make. Like, that's how well they covered it. And I think that just emphasizes how much Golden State was ready and prepared to guard the Mavericks. And I think that speaks to Draymond because he is their defensive quarterback. Like, he gets he makes sure everyone's in the right place. He's making rotations and reads that are just like our own Matthew Phillips in our Slack was like, he's like the defensive version of Luka. Like, he just sees the game in a way that's so predictive and counteractive and reactive, like seeing plays before they happen on the defensive side, that like he was blowing stuff up that the Mavericks were just like, you know, this normally gets us a layup, or we get fouled, or we get, you know, we get a rotation and we get an open three. And it was just like, it was just not there. And you could tell the Mavericks offense all night, it was just gummed up in a way that we haven't really seen. And part of that could be fifth road game on a 5-game road trip, might be tired, a lot of travel. You know, California to Texas to Cal, you know, Utah to California to Texas.
Some Warriors hit some big shots. Yeah, like, that's it. The Warriors shot 40 again. I mentioned this already, 45, 100. There were certain guys who were on fire. I mean,
it's one of those nights.
There's a host of Mavericks fans that only watch the Mavericks. I don't blame you. It's a tough league, but Andrew Wiggins played the type of game tonight that was like, oh, that's why the Mavericks wanted Wiggins. Mm-hmm. I mean, Wiggins has been one of the worst players and one of the worst starters in the league this year. He's just not had a good year.
That's not hyperbole.
No, he's been awful. You can ask any Warriors fan. And so they come out tonight and he just looks great. He plays Luka really well. He bodies Luka up. Really, this was the first team I've seen it give it to the Mavericks the same way the Mavericks have been dishing it out, at least in terms of sheer physicality.
Yeah, and the Warriors kicked their ass on the boards. First time that's happened to Dallas in quite a while since the trade.
And there were a lot of long, like kind of 50-50 boards that ended up in the Warriors' hands. And you know, again, I'm not trying to be too negative about this, because you look at all these things, you bounce it together, and the Mavericks still had a chance to win.
Right.
And that's sort of where I'm thinking about it, because it's just there are parts of this game, and I do want to talk about, like, you know, Luka. 30 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Luka was really very frustrating, quite candidly. He had some really bad turnovers to go along with his, like, usual brilliance at the rough times. I mean, he hit to start the fourth quarter, he shot an airball three. He passed up a catch and shoot three at a huge moment within the game.
That was nuts.
He was so open. It was like, oh shit, I'm so open. And then he dribbled into nothing. And it was just, I think this comes back to travel, tiredness, just that sort of thing. I'm going to bounce around here just because I'm kind of exhausted myself. I mean, like, I think the main player who I really thought played it, like, the best Maverick player by far tonight was Kyrie Irving, who, you know, in his 39 minutes shot the ball real well. Just made right plays at the right time, helping the Mavericks stay in it. Obviously, Luka played a great game, and then past that, it ended up being like Maxi Kleber.
Yeah.
Who was awful from the floor. He had an incredible defensive game. Like, probably that's the game that you have him out there for.
Yeah. The role player. I mean, I agree with you about Luka. Like, there were some weird plays. He had some weird turnovers. Like, he missed Gafford on an alley-oop. And the pass bounced off the backboard when it was, like, it was not a hard alley-oop. Like, he was wide open. He had 5 turnovers, which is kind of a lot for him. And he had some defensive plays that were a little frustrating, especially, like, the game was the game wasn't over. But, I mean, the war, you know, if they wanted to make a comeback, they needed to get one more stop. And the ball got to Wiggins. It was the last time the Warriors made a bucket before it turned into the foul game. Mm-hmm. And the Wiggins caught it on the baseline, and Luka just didn't close out. Like, I mean, he closed out, but he didn't try. Like, he got, he did the half-hearted kind of jogged out there and Wiggins went right by him. And I think he got fouled and went to the free throw line because Gafford was kind of hung out on an island. And that was frustrating because if he would have, you know, had given a little bit more effort there and they would have gotten a stop there, there might have been a chance they actually had the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead. But could have, would have, should have. That was just a little disappointing. But overall, I mean, when he was off the floor, though, the team was horrible. When either him or Kyrie were off the floor.
Yeah,
it was,
I mean, just, the team.
Those were the only two. Yeah, those were the only two ways that those guys being on the floor was the only way this team scored tonight.
The TNT broadcast said that when Luka was off the floor, the Mavericks shot 4 of 18 from the floor. Yeah,
absolutely believe it. They had no, no identity when Luka was off the floor. And again, that's like when Luka's been off the floor, what they've been doing is like, hey, Gafford passing out of the high post and finding cutters. And Gafford did end up having 3 assists tonight, but it didn't feel the same. They mucked it up.
They just mucked up the Dallas offense. It was really something.
Yeah. And, you know, the role players didn't hit three. Like, the Mavericks were 15 of 40 from three, which is kind of a miracle considering how poorly they were shooting for most of the game, you know, 37.5%. But Luka and Kyrie were 9 of 19 of those made threes. So, you know, the rest of the – do the math.
Yeah.
The role players did not shoot the ball particularly well.
Well, and let's circle back to that because we're about at the halfway point in the podcast. If you guys could do me a favor and like the stream, obviously after a loss, there's fewer people in here, fewer people listen to the show. When the Mavericks win, Josh and I do better, so we never ever want them to lose. we would love it if they won every game. Mm-hmm. While you're down there, if you could hit the subscribe button, we're just bit by bit. We're getting 3 to 4 followers, 3 to 4 new subscribers with every podcast, and that sort of thing just adds up over time. We're really appreciative. If you're listening to the audio version of the stream, consider leaving a review. I'm seeing more and more reviews on Spotify. I need to check Apple. Just let me know, you know, shoot me an email if that's something you're at all interested in. I tend to be pretty responsive, cause I really like talking basketball with our fans. If you're watching on this video later, if you could leave a comment, some of the comments absolutely crack me up on this show. Everybody's great. Now I'm going to leave a short, bit of break in to insert some audio ads on the show. And then Josh and I will be right back to talk about the rest of this game.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, before we resume, shout out to my man Henry for a tip for us. He points out the 39 bench points versus the 13 for the Mavericks. Yep. And that's just a massive point in this game. All right, now I kind of want to really like kind of get aggressively Kirk style negative. I need like this PJ Washington stuff is not funny anymore, man. It's crazy. His like he took a shot. So there's a ridiculous gif of like it's like this fat guy shooting three pointers at a local gym and he's shooting them so hard off the ball
rack.
That's what his three pointers look like, man. He shot one from the right wing. And this is, I'm just telling you, go out to a basketball court, guys. Try this. He shot it from the right wing, and it careened off the far left side of the rim. Not like a bounce, like where he shot it like lightly and it just bounced and came back to him. It bounced off the like off the left side of the rim into the far left corner of the court. I don't think you could do that if you tried. That's harder to do than if you make like try like making a shot. And so just watching this guy shoot, I'm just gonna die. Like I'm gonna be impossible to talk to if something happens in the offseason where we get a well, PJ Washington finally got his eyes checked, and it turns out that he needed LASIK. Like I'm gonna be like impossible to talk to because hit all of his shots look like this. I mean, he was 5-9 from two-pointer tonight, which isn't bad. But then you go look at how he misses, and he makes two-point shots awful too. Listen, NBA players, guys, I think we sometimes, because Luka's just so amazing, all of the, and Kyrie obviously too, but NBA players are so freakishly skilled. If you watch them in shoot around or watch them in a practice, they're unbelievable. So when guys miss shots horribly, like Eric Dampier would beat Dirk in three-point contests because they just screw around after practice. Like, yeah, these Dwight guys Howard are incredible
made,
players.
Dwight Howard would make all his free throws in practice. It's weird.
So it's like when you watch a guy shoot a six-foot shot that bounces off the back of the rim like he's a YMCA seventh grader, I don't know what to do. And so it's like I hate to crush this guy because he is so valuable to what the team does, but he is – when he is bad, the Mavericks offense turns into garbage.
Yeah. And I mean, it's honestly kind of, commendable that his doo-doo offense has had no effect on his defensive effort. Like,
that's true.
He still competes. He had three steals, a block. Like, he was roving around. Like, I haven't seen, you know, he still plays pretty good transition defense, which is, he was not doing that in Charlotte. Like that was a big red flag. People thought like his effort level in Charlotte was not great on the transition side of the basketball. So, you know, kudos to him for, cause I mean, we obviously did not play high level basketball, but when we did used to play basketball in a competitive sense, missing shots gets into your head and like you get, you know, it deflates you the rest of your game. Like I totally would like miss a shot and then not want to guard.
Sure.
The next possession. Like that's just kind of human nature with these guys.
This is why I never shot. If you don't shoot, you can't miss.
I know. I didn't shoot a lot either.
You're right, though.
Yeah. But you know, on the other end of it, like there's to what end? Like there's gotta be like, yes, he can be a bad offensive player if his defensive level is going to be this good, but he can't be like this bad. Like He can't be a guy that's going to be so unguardable that teams are going to put their center on him or they're going to put the weak link or they're going to play rover with whoever's guarding him. Like the Warriors did to the Memphis Grizzlies years back where they basically, you know, left Tony Allen wide open and then whoever was guarding him was playing free safety, like literally would not follow him wherever he went on the floor and would just keep one foot in the paint. Like that might happen to him very soon because like you said, what's weird is not that he's missing shots. NBA players miss shots, go through slumps. It's the how. Uh-huh. Like, it's the way he's missing these threes that are going completely over the rim. It's the way he will drive to the basket and look like he's never held a basketball before and, like, lose the ball as he's going up and, like, not get a clean finish near the rim. Like, the best way I can describe it, I said in our Slack, is it looks like his offensive talent gets monstarred like from Space Jam, like some alien sucks it out of his body right before tip off. And he just has to go out there with the only thing he knows how to do is playing defense because there's a robotic predictability to what he's doing offensively. And you pointed this out. And it reminded me of Harrison Barnes when Harrison Barnes was on the Mavericks, where Barnes was also a very gifted athletic player. Like I think people, I don't know if people forget, but like when he was in his prime coming to Dallas in the, with Golden State, he was a monster athlete with good measurables, good length. PJ's also a monster athlete, like at 6'7", good length, good hops.
Joe in the chat points out his arms are so long, and that might be why he struggles with shooting, because like maybe, that actually is a thing. I just
It could be. But also, you know, take out the shooting and his what he's doing driving-wise and going toward the basket, he's playing very – he's not reacting kind of to what's happening on the floor in front of him. And he's doing – it feels like he's going through, like, preset reads in his head when he catches the ball. And it's like, okay, I'm in the corner. Defender's coming out of me. I'm going to catch it. I'm going to attack the closeout. I'm going to go to my spot in the middle of the floor, and I'm going to shoot a floater. Uh-huh. And it's like, my guy, teams know that. They are closing out, and they are shading towards the middle of the floor. They are giving you a wide-open baseline, and he's
– he doesn't even see it.
Yeah, it's because it's almost like he's – got this predetermined, you know, idea of what he has to do. And it's just so awkward when he's in the lane and he doesn't get to do his favorite floater move. Like anytime he tries to do anything else, it looks like he's never done it before, which is weird because I've seen him be a smooth offensive player in Charlotte. And even with his inconsistencies, which we pointed out when the trade happened, it was like the talent doesn't match the numbers. Like why aren't his numbers better when he looks so good on the floor with the eye test? Yeah, this is part of it, but it's just getting worse. Like, he didn't look this robotic, I don't remember, in Charlotte. And maybe that's a symptom of him going from a system where in Charlotte he kind of did whatever the hell he wanted to do. And now in Dallas he's playing for a team that has structure and scheme and a legitimate top-end star that's going to control the ball and run the offense. And he's just kind of not used to that. Maybe it's going to take a training camp and offseason to get used to it. But it just – it looks weird. Like, it doesn't just look bad. It looks – it looks weird. And his 3-point shooting, I mean, he was 30, good his rookie year, 37%, went up 38.6% his second year with increased volume. And it's literally every season since his second season, it's gone down. 36% third year, 34% fourth year, started this year, 32% in Charlotte. He's now 28.9% from three with Dallas. Like it just keeps dropping.
Well, the threes that you're missing, and like this is where if you're looking at the box score, like why are you nitpicking at this guy? 20 points on 19 shots for a like fourth option sucks. It's a ton of volume. It's not good. I don't mean
and really fourth option. He's presumably supposed to be the third option.
Sure. Right? I mean, the third option is the center rotation, though. That's really, and we'll get, you know, Lively didn't play. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit.
Oh, we need to talk about, I mean, that was huge.
That was, but that, you know, we'll circle back to that because that made Kidd discombobulated. Jason Kidd was the order of the day. But PJ is just, I like him. I'm being hard on the guy right now because I think he's capable of more. And when he looks bad, the Mavericks tend to have worse offensive games, only it hasn't mattered very much. This was the first time they've lost in 8 games, for example. And you go look at the guy shooting, guys. His time with the Mavericks, he has connected. I just did the math. He has shot the ball 235 times since he's been at the Mavericks. He has made 95 of those. That is barely 40% from the floor.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Not good. And that's you're combining that with Derek Jones Jr., who doesn't give you anything offensively. And it's God, like
that guy. Did you see him get like stopped in the lane multiple times?
Not his fault. He's way over his head in the starting lineup offensively. They need his defense. I thought he chased Steph Curry around pretty well. Steph didn't really have a great game. But yeah, his offense, like when you look at the Mavericks and what they need to do, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but you're like, okay, where, you know, they're playing so well, like what could be better? And it's like, if they could find a player that doesn't give them a drop off defensively from what Jones gives them, but just give like just a little bit off, but just a little bit more. It doesn't have to be a lot. Like that's kind of what they need right now. Cause yeah, his 18 minutes, 0 points it was tough. Despite the fact that again, he chased Steph Curry around pretty well, had 2 blocks, but well, You gotta make some shots.
I'll point out 2 more PJ stats, and these things are related. So his true shooting percentage, and this is before this game, is under 50%. It's his worst true shooting percentage by 3.5 percentage points, like in his whole career.
And is it getting worse? Like, has it just slowly gotten
worse? No, it's kind of bounced up and down. And then his EFG, which is, you know, the statistic, just reading the definition on Basketball Reference, it adjusts for the fact that the 3-point field goal is worth more than 2-point field goal. And he's shot more threes than he has twos with the Mavericks, but he's also under 50%. And EFG, and that's for the first. Both of these are for the first time in his career. So, if you're an optimist, I think you could make the argument that this is bound to swing back just because he's not this bad.
He's not. I don't believe he's this bad.
Okay, so it's anyways. So if you're you know, and maybe he will. Like honestly, I said this to Bob Sturm tonight. If PJ becomes reasonably functional, the Mavericks are going to destroy teams.
Yeah, especially with the way his defense. Yes, like that's the thing. Like his defense is so good, we haven't even had to talk about his. Like when have we really talked about his offense?
Because it hasn't mattered. Yeah, they've been fine. So yeah. Again, we're nitpicking because this is what John. Like so one of the last guests on the live show said, I come to you guys for pragmatism. I hope people don't think we're being like absurdly negative. I just want to point this stuff out because it matters over time. Then I think the only other thing that really, really killed me, other than, you know, Derek Jones, like he just got stonewalled one time in the key. I mean, negative 15 in 18 minutes. The guys that were bad tonight for Dallas were awful. Derek Jones Jr. was awful in his time on the floor. Dwight Powell was a negative 8 in 9 minutes, and Jaden Hardy was a negative 8 in 8 minutes. And this was where the lively of it all really,
his absence was felt. All game. I mean, you could just sense it, right? Like, especially when they went to those backup minutes, like when Gafford went off the floor, like, holy cow. Like, it's just such like a house of cards falling, you know, like, cause it's not just his defense, like his screen setting, rim running, verticality. Like they need that. They need that to kind of get them where they want to go, to kind of help these bench players kind of know what to do and where to go when it's like, hey, what do we do on this play? Well, just let Lively, you know, like if Tim's on the floor, Luka's on the floor, and it's like, what do we do? Luka's on the floor. Let Lively set a screen, and that might just open something up. It's not even a Lively dunk. And that without that there, they just had, I mean, between Maxey and Powell, like there was no, you know, if Gafford wasn't setting a screen, there was no threat tonight offense.
Well, and they tried Powell, and his minutes were just disastrous. Yeah. And he looked like a JV player playing with the varsity. Yeah. It was very unfortunate. Like he was in the lane when Exum drove and just didn't fucking move at one point. And I'm just like, I feel bad for the guy, but it's just, he's flying all around. He doesn't look like, this was a game where it's like, all right, how did we get to the Western Conference Finals with this guy playing minutes? And then there was Hardy, and this relates back to the kid of it all, where, you know, unless we find out that Dante Exum was hurt, there was precisely zero explanation for why Exum was playing. Exum only played 21 minutes. He didn't close out the game. In the third quarter, to end the I mentioned this already, kid rolled out a lineup with Hardy, Hardaway, and Kyrie. And Kyrie did a lot of deferring in that period of time. And the Warriors, if you go look at the box score, I'm gonna go just triple check to make sure I was looking at this in the game. I was about to scream. With about 3 minutes left in the quarter, Moses Moody makes 28 footer to turn it 71 all. Hardaway breaks that log jam right after a timeout with a 3-pointer. That was essentially the last time the Mavericks would score for a long time. The Mavericks were up three, and then they over the next 2 minutes and 40 seconds, they gave up a 9-0 run. And the offense was non-existent for the Mavericks. And I just could not understand what Jason Kidd was doing with this lineup.
Yeah. That was weird, especially like, I think the counter is like, well, someone has to play. And it's like, cause Josh Green's hurt. And I'm like, well, these guys didn't play. They haven't played that lineup almost ever in this
week. They've tried it three or four times and it does not work.
Yeah. I don't see why it has to play. Like, it doesn't, I don't think it has to play. Like, and I'm not saying Hardy doesn't need to play. Like, maybe you probably need to try.
Oh, I think Hardy doesn't need to play.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to kill him for trying Hardy in a game where they just couldn't get any scoring at all. And Tim didn't necessarily have a great shooting game as well. But the way that he kind of mixed and matched it was a little bizarre. Like, I just don't think you can play those three together regardless of what you're like, unless Luke is hurt. Like, I don't know why those three are playing.
I'm looking this up. And so from the Tim Hardaway three, the Tim Hardaway three pointer, like the 2 minute and 40 second mark, just to confirm this. Yeah. Tim Hardaway makes a three pointer at the 2 minute, 40 second mark of the third quarter. And from there, that was the last time the Dallas Mavericks scored until the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter. 2 minutes and four, or I'm sorry, 4 minutes and 40 seconds without scoring. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, that's bad.
Good timeout caller. Out of timeout play caller. I don't know. You're looking tired. We're both looking tired.
It was tough.
Exasperated talking about this.
The Exum thing is the weird. Like, I don't know why he didn't come in to close the game. And I'm not necessarily even like trying to Timmy bash, because he wasn't like actively bad. And he actually made a shot in transition to tie the game. And I don't think his defense was as horrific as we've seen it from him. But it was less about like, get Timmy out of the game, he's costing us game. Like, I don't think it was that. It was more just Exum is like the connective tissue to that closing lineup in a way.
We know this. He's fucking talked about it. He just won the Mavericks a game.
Yeah, like, I don't know. And I know Exum wasn't playing particularly well. You know, wasn't making a ton of shots, but, like, he had four assists in 21 minutes. Like, he was getting the ball moving when they needed it. Like, I liked his minutes. Again, I'm not trying to Timmy bash or, like, trying to blame the loss on them playing Tim the final 5-6 minutes. I think it was the final 6 minutes they went with the starters plus Tim instead of Derrick Jones Jr. It was just more like, I thought Exum was your fifth closer. I don't know why they didn't do that. Unless
they have to be petrified of his minute cap. That's the only, and I'm trying to give Jason Kidd some benefit of the doubt here, because he hasn't done anything like this in a long time. But Tim Hardaway, if Tim Hardaway is the answer, then the question you have should terrify you. I know Tim didn't do anything bad tonight, but that's not fair. Tim didn't necessarily do anything too bad down the fourth, but as multiple people on Twitter pointed out to me, Luka was pretty horrendous down the stretch in the fourth quarter. But that's why you have Exum in also. You cannot have Luka and Tim Hardaway gambling on, basically trying to switch on to Steph Curry. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being an asshole.
No, it's okay. I mean, it was weird. Like, I don't recall Exum getting hurt in the game. He played 20.
A really stupid turnover on the sideline with Kyrie, where it was like, what is happening? He's like, he had two turnovers, like some really like, oh fuck kind of situation.
But like, he hasn't earned his stripes to like play through a couple of that. Like, there's no way that was like the reason why he benched him. Played 21 minutes. Like, he hasn't played more than 28 minutes since he's come back. And that was the win against the Spurs, which he hit those clutch threes. So like, in minutes restriction, like, he could have played the final 5 minutes and he would have been at 26 minutes. He's played 28 minutes. He's played 25 a game earlier in March. He played 22 and 23 in the games against the Kings. Like, I don't know. That's just weird. And again, like, if Timmy was on a heater, you know, it's like, all right, let him go. But like I said, I'm not trying to throw this on Tim. Like, I don't think he was actively bad, but like, I didn't see what he was boosting to the closing core four, which I think are Luka, Kyrie, PJ, and
it didn't make sense.
It was just weird. Yeah, it was weird. I don't know what was the explanation. Like, what was the thought process going into that?
No, and we're not going to get an answer. I mean, five games. You know, they're like, they play again in a couple of days, and you know, the Jonathan Kuminga absence, I think, is felt for the Warriors. Like, he's just such a, like, trans-dimensional athlete. He adds a lot to them. Like, if he's able to play, did he play tonight?
No, he was out.
He was out. Like, that makes it a little tougher. Like, the Warriors just, like, the Warriors' problem is not, like, they just have size problems. Like, they're fantastic. They're just small. And the NBA, a lot of size. You know, you got Trayce Jackson-Davis, really, really interesting player. Come on, Looney came in and gave 10 minutes, but that dude is running the tread on his tires. And that's like the only guys that they have that are over 6 foot, like, seven. You know, it's So the Mavericks play them again on Friday. It'll be the second night of a back-to-back. It'll be at home, I think. Should be.
And so yeah.
If the Mavericks can put away the Hawks relatively easily on Thursday night, which you hope they can, then they can come out and play the Warriors and hopefully get a different outcome. But this, what this game more or less does for the rest of the year, the Mavericks, let's just take a look at the standings here and then we'll close out. You know, there's still two games, basically three games, considering the Clippers have the tiebreaker behind the Clippers. They're now tied with the Pelicans. That part sucks. So there's a chance the Mavericks have, there's still a chance that the Mavericks could like completely tumble out, because the Kings have 44 wins, the Suns have 44 wins, Lakers have 43, the Warriors have 41. So there's still like a chance for things to go belly up for the Mavericks, but they have a schedule on which things are within their control going down the stretch. So
yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to be back.
Don't hit the panic button is basically.
Oh, no.
That'd be all right.
No, I'm fine. I like watching the Warriors play. They just play so different than so many other teams. It's fun to see the Mavericks, have to defend like that. And they didn't really do a great job, but we'll see what's going on. All right. I'm not going to do a secondary live show. As Josh knows, I've been kind of on my own parenting for the past several days and I'm just wiped. So we'll try to do something on Thursday, Friday. We'll have fun. We have a Warriors fan who just keeps typing in all caps in our show. I hope you're having a very fun time, Anonymous. It's a sad life you lead. And I'll go back to never thinking of you again. This has been Kirk Henderson and Josh Bow of what's the name of our podcast?
Pod Maverick.
Everybody have a great rest of your week, and we will see you on Thursday. Go Mavs.